O God, by your Spirit, plant your word within us that we may follow your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Calm our spirits and open our hearts so that we may hear what you have to say to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This is from the Gospel of Luke. And Luke writes, "Then they arrived at the region of Gerasenes, which is opposite to Galilee. As he stepped out on the shore, a man from the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had not worn any clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, shouting, 'What have you to do with me, Jesus, the Son of Most High of the Man?' For many had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven out by the demons into the wilds. Jesus had asked him, 'What is your name?' He said, 'Legion.' For many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into their abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter those. So he gave them permission, and the demons came out of the man and entered the swine." And the herd stampeded down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it to the city in the country. Then the people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they became frightened. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then the whole throng of people of the surrounding region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone but begged that he might be with him. But Jesus said to him anyway, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. As a child, this was one of my favorite stories. I remember when I was about 10 years old, and I heard this maybe for the 100th time, but this time I thought, wow, this is amazing. A guy named Jesus gets these demons out. And as a child, I thought, there really were demons inside of people, and hoped and crossed my finger. I would never be one of those. This was a powerful story for me when as a child. I thought a man named Jesus was able to command something to another man, and the demons leaped out of him and they went into the pigs because they asked to be going into the pigs. And I don't know why, there is no explanation other than the pigs run across, go over the cliff, and they die. If you were a good demon, there's no such a thing, right? You would know, don't go into the swine, they're going to kill you, they're going to jump and drown themselves. Why do that? I'd prefer staying with the man. Of course, that was a 10-year-old's eye and mind. When I started to think for myself, and when I went to college and they said, think for yourself, question everything before you, so that you may have an understanding as an adult. I was only 18 when I went to, I was a freshman in college, or 18 or 19. Things started to change. So how do you think the sun comes up? Why do you think it, well, wait a minute, sun doesn't come up, we turn. Oh, all this time as a 10-year-old, I thought the sun came up and then the sun went down. I learned a lot more things as I went to seminary. So a lot of the people who are against seminaries say, that's going to ruin you. That's going to take your childlike memory and understanding of the scripture away, and you will never be the same. Thank God I went to seminary. Now, I'm going to say a few things today that might just make you a little uncomfortable, but sit with it. Just like I did in college and in seminary, and then my seminary again at Louisville Presbyterian Seminary. They helped me to think for myself. There is nothing wrong with thinking something opposite of what you have experienced. For example, I thought Job was a real man and he had all this stuff that happened in his life. Then I learned in seminary it's a poem written by someone about someone's condition in life. So horrible as that was, he held in there. Even though we think Job was a faithful man, do you know, if you go back and read, he complains to God the entire time, right? He does. And we think patience of Job. No, he didn't have any patience. He complained all the time. But he did hit rock bottom. And he was able to understand that this whole life is about God. Everything that happens and doesn't happen is by God's choice. The prodigal son story. It was also a story that was told by Jesus to help his disciples understand what it's like for God to love us. Even if we go completely against all of what God wanted him to do. The second son leaves his father, right? And takes everything he has, squanders it, and then is sitting with the pigs. Now, you get the picture? Pigs are not very important things for Jewish people. They don't know what bacon tastes like. Aren't you glad to be a Presbyterian? So, one other thing about the prodigal son that we fail to understand, or at least we don't pay as much attention, is that he was sitting with the pigs and he realized, this is the worst place that I can think of the servants in my dad's house have a better place than I do. That, my friends, is a confession of sin, understanding the depth of what it means to be a human, and have the willingness to turn around and go back home. Not as a son, he said, I want to go back as a servant because they have a better life than I do. Do you know what kind of a courage it would have taken that man to do that? Go back to his dad and say, I'm so sorry, I did all this. And what does, so the point that Jesus makes is when he comes back, he puts on the nicest robe, most expensive, Horst Schaffner and Marks jacket. And there he is. Nothing from Target. I shared, I think, this one with you, my own experience about I was asked to go to the ER. Scott, can I walk across? Yes. Yes, okay. I told you probably a couple of times ago that I was here. I was asked to go to the ER. And when I went to the ER, they said the man in bed one is dead, but the family is in. Do you remember that story? Okay, good. Some of you probably didn't hear that or you weren't here. I'll just remind you quickly. And I went in there and I said, I'm Reverend Isaiah. I'm the hospital chaplain. Because I was dressed like this, even though I said I'm Reverend Isaiah, they said, are you a doctor? I said, no, I'm not a doctor. I said, the father, who is very anxious and seemed to be, appeared to me kind of like angry, and he said, what's going on with my son? And I said, well, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but he did not make it. And he said, get the out of our room. I don't believe in your God, your prayer, because God didn't do what I asked for him to do. The son who died was 40 years old. I just wondered how often we hold God accountable for things that we want God to do, and it doesn't work. I have been in the hospital and in the parish long enough to bury an infant to a 20-year-old who didn't wake up with her twin sister in the same room. They did 3 autopsies and nothing ever showed the parents why she died. They still came to church. So today, here comes a little bit of uncomfortableness for us. Do we have demons in our world? Do we have demons in ourselves? See, when I went to college and studied psychology, and then I went to seminary, the Methodist seminary, and then the Presbyterian seminary. They all wanted me to, because I was interested in psychology, I was always interested in understanding the human mind, behavior. Where does that begin? I wanted to understand feelings that people would have and how to help them get out of it. One of the things that I remember was that there is no such a thing as demons. Well, I just read right out of the scriptures. It's written right there. It says demons. How many of us have recognized and known demons that people have? Well, you know what? I went to a psychiatric hospital as a student, and this physician and psychiatrist said, let me show you an interview with a person with multiple personality disorder. Actually, the voice changes when a certain person is called out of that person. If you've never seen Three Faces of Eve, please go back and watch. If not, watch it again anyway, if you've seen it. There are other things that we have learned so much about the mind, how complicated it is, how these things develop. They may have called demons, but we may call them multiple personality disorder. People find, let me tell you just one real quick lesson in psychology. One way that people develop another personality is when they are little children, when we were little kids, something bad was happening to us, so we decided not to be in that place, but we want to be someplace else in mind that feels safe. That is the beginning of dissociative personality disorder, which begins with the dissociative personality means you dissociate with the abuse that's going on, so you find yourself in a heavenly place, like a beach or in a forest, in the arms of mom, or wherever that safe is. Today is Juneteenth, right? And finally, we finally have a federal, not a vacation, what is it, federal holiday tomorrow. Like, geez, I'm working today and I got to work tomorrow. Now, if I worked for the bank, I'd have tomorrow off. It's important when we look at our society to look the way that Jesus looked at these demons. So the point that Jesus was making to these his disciples, who are still pretty young and learning in the ways of Jesus, is you will be doing these things. It's your responsibility to heal the demons in the others. Now, a couple of things I learned that I had not as a child. I just saw Jesus doing these miraculous things, and I thought, wow, I wish I could do that. But Jesus was, you know where I know I didn't, I screwed up the how to pronounce that. Gerasenes is a Gentile town. Couple of things to know. The man who came to see Jesus was a Gentile, and he did not ask to be healed. It's very few cases, I mean maybe two or three, where somebody didn't ask to be healed, but Jesus does. And this is one of those situations. One of the points that we keep forgetting, when we get stuck in this story, what we forget is, who was writing it? This is Luke writing it, not to you and me. Mm-mm. We're just reading it today from Luke's perspective. And who was Luke writing to, right? He was writing to his audience 2,000 years ago, or almost. Now, I've been saying that for 40 years, 2,000 years ago. I guess it works today. A Gentile, a rabbi, demons. This man didn't ask. But you know what happened? When he saw Jesus, that Gentile, the demons recognized who Jesus was. Let me say that again. What Luke wanted to point out to all of his audience is who Jesus was. And how did Jesus said, you know, I'm the Son of God, I'm Most High. No. It is the other who recognizes Jesus as the Son of God. That's an important lesson to learn for Luke's audience, who were primarily Gentiles. And also the point that Jesus makes is, well, if you follow me, you're going to do these things this way. Just because you're Jewish doesn't mean you're only going to help Jewish people. You're going to help everybody, even the Gentiles. So the author is making the point to his audience. Please, follow me, because I'm following Jesus. And who was Jesus following? God. The demons recognized Jesus when they saw him. And interesting, really dumb demons, right? They said, send us to the pigs. Now, the pigs go and they die, and so they lose their lives, or whatever they are. Now, the question I have for you is, do we have demons today? This is your time to recognize demons. I'll give you a real quick one. Because I'm the only one talking up here, and I get to take the easy way out. So one of the demons that I notice in America and in this world is prejudice. If you're not the same color as me, and I've told you that story as well, who kicked me out of his room and he said, I don't like the color of your skin. Get out of my mother's room. That's an easy one. What other demons do we have? It's your turn. You're the hot seat. Oh, I got all the time in the world.
Fear.
Mm-hmm. Drugs.
Avarice.
Hate.
Complacency.
Ooh, that's a big one, isn't it? Seeing but not doing. Watching but not being active.
Apathy. Tribalism.
Yes. If you think like me, you're okay. If you don't think like me, you're the demon. That's happening here, right in front of you. If you have been watching any of the hearings, it's about, let's tell the truth. What is opposite of truth?
Lies.
Deception. Okay, I gave you that one. If you can spend some time this week, think about what Jesus is demonstrating and what Luke is trying to teach us now, not his audience, but we become his audience because we read the scriptures and we said, God, open my heart, my soul, and my mind to the reading and the word that we're going to hear today. That was our opening prayer. Open to the gospel. Jesus invites us not to be compliant by just turning the TV on or whatever else and listening and sitting in our couch or on our couch, but to go out there and make peace. Go out there and love, not the one that just loves you back, that's my wife, but go out there and love the one that hates you because they disagree with you. Be eager to reach out to them and not wait and hold back. So I'm going to do some confession because it's good for the soul. And this is what this is telling me to do personally. I'm good about holding grudges, aren't I? Not against my wife, but some of my family members. But Jesus is calling me because he said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to bear the name Christ-like, Christian, God-like, then be godlike. Much easier said than done. I preach that to you today, and I'm going to be struggling next week. One particular family member that I have. But the struggle is important. That struggle will always point us back to what would Jesus do? That was like a big thing about 20 years ago, right? WWJD. The struggle recognizes that we're work in progress of being a Christian. It's not a destination, but it's a journey. It is work in progress. We struggle because we are recognized by God. We struggle because we recognize God in ourselves, and we don't want to recognize God in the other. And that's what's wrong with this country. That's what's wrong with this world. And I've already said this to you one other time. When Indian people put their hand together and they bow to the other, it's not respecting that person, but the God in that person. Can we recognize God in everyone? Or just the people that we love and care about? Our call from Jesus in this particular text is to live like Him. Recognize the demons, because the demons will recognize you if you are Christ-like, when you are Christ-like. And we don't condemn them, but love them and pray for them. We may not have the strength, the ability, or the powers that people may have, the healing power of saying to some demon, get the heck out of here, and they do. But you know what? When we embrace that person that we have been putting off, we might be the Christ for that person. Let us pray. Let the calling that you have called us to be become real to us in action. Amen.